Hello there, this is Christopher Walken, and today I'm excited, and I know you're excited too, to hear the kids, Ashley and Adam. So I won't take up too much of your time, but I made a list of things cooler than Ashley and Adam, so here it is. That's right, nothing, because nothing is cooler than these two. So give us a 5-star rating and tell your friends. We drop new content all week, so make sure to follow us on Instagram and YouTube while you're at it. And here we go!
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Bikini in the Brain. I'm here with the lovely Ashley Kowalser all the way in Hollywood, California.
Hi, yes, that's me. I'm all the way over there and coming right through your screen, right through your speakers, blessing your speakers on this fine day. How are you, Adam?
I'm doing good. The weather out here is great. Besides being, you know, stuck inside for most of the time, I'm opening the windows and I'm enjoying it, getting my walks around. The
dudes there you go. Good. Yeah, it's actually crappy here. It's like rainy and it's been gloomy all day. And I actually like it gloomy whenever I have to stay inside because I feel like I'm not missing out on anything. It's like, okay.
Oh, so that makes sense. That makes sense, yeah. You know what's funny is I saw your video. I was at I was watching Logan Paul the other day, and like he was in your complex. I saw his video and I'm bored, so I'm watching a lot of YouTube now. So I saw him in your complex, same doors, everything, like he was in there.
Oh yeah, he used to live here and I actually was in one of his videos once.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, I gave him a piggyback ride. I know it's random, right?
That is strange. So anyway, what do we got today, Ashley?
So, you know, I thought you brought up a really good point the last podcast, like something that we have the advantage of over other people is, you know, we're typically healthier. If you're listening to this podcast, then you're probably in the loop of it. You're probably in the, you know, whole fitness group. And it kind of makes you really appreciate that, especially during times like this. So, you know, you're sitting home, you have a lot of extra time. And I've just been reflecting on like things that I'm grateful for. And one of those is like the fitness industry and how I'm very grateful to be a part of it because it has a lot of advantages. And I know you've mentioned before that a lot of things that fitness teaches us translates into the real world. So I thought we should probably talk about some of those things in today's podcast.
Yeah, I think that's a really good idea, especially now with, I think, you know, at this point it's almost like people are getting paid the dividends of their hard work, you know, mm-hmm. and like it's been very exposed that, hey, the healthier you, the more you take care of yourself with health and fitness, the better you are for scenarios like what's going on right now. And right. So it's great to see like people in our field that are, hey, you know what, if I get sick, I'm a very large percentage in that large percentage chance where I'm going to be okay. It's going to be rough for a few days type of thing. Mm-hmm. So I think that's, yeah, to appreciate that all of our hard work is paying off now, letting you live a little bit less stressed and a little bit more prepared, you know, kind of essentially, I think about, you know, kind of compared to like fighters in a war zone wearing bulletproof armor, right? A little bit, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like that.
You're still at risk, but yeah, I think it's great. So I'd rather be wearing that than nothing. So that's our bulletproof vest is this fitness stuff.
So the gains, bro. The gains are my bulletproof vest.
Yeah, that's a t-shirt. So let's go ahead and go into it, Ash.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so I have them all written down here, but I would like for you to add on to this list and chime in as well. And I think the first thing that fitness has taught me is to stay consistent. You know, anybody that's ever achieved anything great in life didn't do that, you know, just by doing a few days and then giving up. You know, we're staying consistent. We know what the ultimate goal is for our bodies. And we work hard every day. and we have that mentality of like, I gotta stay on track, I gotta stay consistent, or this isn't going to work. Despite having roadblocks, despite having hurdles or any inconveniences along the way, we keep going. We know how to stay consistent. So that translates into many aspects of life.
Yes, I completely agree. And I think that that's the thing you hear about too, with a lot of people who start this and they completely complete it, you know, from start to finish, and they actually accomplish the goal of not just getting in shape, but staying in shape and learning that discipline from the sport that they apply to the rest of their life. I think that it's so important. And what's funny, when you hire, like when I hire people, right, in the, like the prep center or whatever, like you could see the difference of people who've like done shows, or I kind of compare them to like military people. Like military people are awesome people. If you guys employ anyone, military people are awesome to employ because they've been trained to like get through things. You know, they've been trained to be disciplined. They've been trained to be focused. And it's kind of like I wouldn't compare it to the same type of training, but like a minor military type training, you know, where, you know, you go through this prep stuff and you really find out who has what it takes to stick with something. You know, you really find out what you're made of, kind of speak. And then you apply that to your life, you know. You know, very successful people in this world are the people that don't quit, you know, no matter what. It's going to be hard. Prep is going to be hard no matter how good your coach is, no matter how good your genetics are. It's going to be tough. And life is going to be tough no matter how lucky you are, no matter, you know, everyone. It's funny, there's this like group of, there's like this group that actually Jeff Taylor was in, and he told me about it. He's a chairman for out here in Colorado. And he told me, he's like, yeah, there's this group for business people. And the only way to be in the group is if you've failed at something at least like one time or two times. And it was like one of your businesses failed at least like one time or two times. It's something like that. And I was like, man, that's a crazy concept. And he's like, yeah. He's like, well, that's the people who learn from it. And they go into it knowing, hey, I'm going to fail at something, but I'm never going to give up. And those are the people that become successful. And most people, like even the best business people in the world, you hear all these stories, like failed a bunch of times before they made it. So staying consistent, even when you don't get that that desired result the first time, is so, so important. And this teaches you that, you know, because you're eating for 16 weeks one way, you know, you're working out every single day when you don't want to, when your energy is low, because you haven't been, because you've been doing so much cardio and dieting so hard. So like, it just teaches you to get something, and that your desire for something is greater than the inconvenience of stopping you, you know? So I love it. I would never be where I'm at without learning those lessons in fitness. You know, there's just no way.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of times, like the physical hard work we put in, the consistency in a physical sense, definitely translates to like our mental endurance as well. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's kind of like when you get into anything new, you've got to expect there's going to be some inconveniences and roadblocks. You know it's coming, but you got to be very, very mentally strong to keep going no matter what. And knowing that things are going to happen that are less favorable, you just got to keep pushing through. Just like in prep and in fitness, you're going to have those days, like you mentioned, you're not feeling so great. You just got to push through and just keep the ultimate goal in mind.
Yeah. And I think that this is like a perfect time to talk about it, because this is one of those times where it's inconvenient. And here's the thing with fitness. When I always tell people, I'm like, if you're waiting for fitness to be convenient, then you're never going to get started, because fitness is always going to be inconvenient. There's never going to be a period of time. And people are like, oh, well, after my whatever, I'm going to do it. Well, after the whatever starts, I'm going to do it. You know, there's always something. It's weird. And I'm like, well, you got to understand, fitness is like, for you to be competition fitness, it's going to take you most likely like at minimum 16 weeks of perfection for the most part. For most people, it's like a year of like building their body up and then compiling years and years to get to that like top level. So you're talking about waiting for that perfect time. Well, there's never going to be a period of, let's say, 6 months in a row where something's not going to come up, where there's not a vacation, a wedding, a birthday, a trip, a work thing you have to do, a period where you're sick, in this period where we're stuck at home or getting home workouts, you know? So like, there's never going to be a time for fitness to be convenient. So let's just put it out there. Fitness is inconvenient and just accept it. And let's move on from it and do what you have to do to be fit still, right? So that's, you know, you can dwell on the fact that, hey, I'm stuck at home. I can't get my workouts in the way I want to, whatever. Or you could be like Ashley, who's actually probably her shoulder caps are looking better every week.
Stop it. You're going to make my shoulders blush right through this jacket. You better stop.
So that's the thing. Like, I think right now, it's really cool because I'm finding out too from like my own people, you know, like who's got the juice, you know, like, are you one of those people that are doing it and you're like, hey, my home workouts, they're not ideal, but I'm making it work. And I just need to maintain or make a little bit of progress, at least not go backwards during this time. And then I'll hit the gym and I can't wait to get to the gym when they open back up. I have those people and I'm finding out a lot about my clients right now, you know, who's the ones that are like, not going to be stopped, you know? And it's really cool to see that because, you know, when I never had any period like this where the gyms were like closed down, but you know, there'd be like holidays and stuff. And I really wanted to work out. It's the same thing. It's just a longer period of time. You know, the gym might be closed for a day or two and I'd be like, oh, I'm going to go in my garage and find ways of making it work, you know? So It's totally possible. So it's just a matter of you deciding to say, okay, it's inconvenient, it's not ideal, and I'm gonna keep going, or being like, oh, I'll just wait till the gym's open again and giving yourself that excuse. The problem is you're going very quickly backwards when that happens. So the people who are mentally tough and making it through this and making the most out of it are gonna be paid off by so much when they get back in the gym. I'm really excited to see. It's been nice to see like who's in it for real, you know? Like who's for real in this right now, you know? So.
Yep. Yeah, I like that. That was very beautifully stated, and it blends into the next point. Us in the fitness industry, we know how to work hard. Like, you know, and I'm not even just talking about physically. You mentioned mentally tough, being mentally tough, and I cannot stress how true that is. And a lot of people think that you gotta be physically tough in our sport, but we gotta be so mentally tough as well. You know, there's a big difference between people that talk a lot of stuff. Yeah, I'm gonna prep for a show. Yeah, I'm gonna compete this year. Yeah, I'm gonna do this and that. I'm going to run 4 miles a day. And then they just, you know, maybe do it for like 2 days and be like, well, it's becoming too hard for me. And it's like, well, yeah, it is, it's tough. And that's why not everyone looks the way we do, okay? If it were easy, everyone would do it. And not everyone out there, at least last time I checked, not everyone out there has abs, so I don't know.
Yeah. I would say that the talking is, gosh, it's frustrating. I would say that's the number one reason I won't work with some pros for like longer periods of times is because they just talk and talk. And I'm like, dang, how did you get here? And something leaves them, you know, the fire leaves them or something. And then they just don't have it. They're like, oh, I'm gonna give it my all. And they're like, no execution. And I'm just like, I'm not gonna babysit you. You know, you want it, let me know. If not, see you later, you know? It's very few people that are actually like in it for a long period who are still 100% dedicated like you. So I always say that I really admire that about you because you don't go, like you just go, you know, you're just like, I want this. And that's why you have the resume you have, you know, and I think it's so, there's so much for people to learn from that. Like, I think that people underestimate how important it is to just be consistent and fight through it. And that the motivation comes with the consistency. I think that as soon as you give in to you not being consistent, then the motivation is harder to get back. But if you're just like, you force yourself through those days and then you, next thing you know, you're like, that's just how it is, you know? And I think that you've done a really good job and been a really good example of that. So.
Wow. Thank you. I feel the same way about you. You are the hardest worker I know by far, and you work way harder than me. And you do that not just in the gym, but in your career as well. And one of my favorite things is get comfortable with being uncomfortable. I can't stress that enough. It's a big deal for me. You know, it's kind of like, yeah, it's going to hurt and it's going to be very uncomfortable. And, you know, even going back even a little further, you know, it's not convenient, but get comfortable with that feeling because being uncomfortable is what's going to make you grow going to make you better. And like, nothing in life is ever just so straightforward and 100% like consistent all the time. There's always going to be times it's going to be tougher than others, but like, you just got to push through, keep that ultimate goal in mind.
Yeah, I think that's very well said. Very well said on that. And I think people need to like reassess that on a daily basis too. And like think about, okay, because it's funny, and that's going to go into something else too. It's funny because I'll get a lot of people who want to be pro, right? And they'll be like, oh, I want to be a pro competitor. And I'm like, okay, why? And then they don't have like an answer, you know? Like, well, if you don't have a why for that, then of course it's going to be hard for you to stay dedicated. Like, you need to know, go past the why. Like, you need to go, what is it going to do for you? Why are you willing to work so hard? When it gets hard, what's going to be that driving factor to like keep you consistent? And it's so important to like know the past that, you know, what is it going to benefit you to do that? And then go from there. You know, people are like, I'll get a lot of, oh, I just want to get to the Olympia stage one day. I'm like, okay. And let's say you did that. And then what, you know, and you just got to know like, okay, this is why I'm doing it for whatever, you know, and just have that reason. If you have that reason, that why, which we have, it's like, what's your why? We talked about that. It's going to make such a big difference in like your daily thing. And I want to go back to your like psych, like the mental part of it being mentally tough too. I forgot to mention on that. I think that especially with our listeners, which are probably like 80% bikini, I think that bikini is the hardest mental out of all those, all the divisions. I think bikini is the most mentally tough. And it's funny because like I'm a guy and I used to be bodybuilder. And so I have like my bodybuilding friends will be like, oh, you're always coaching like bikini girls. That's like easy, whatever. And I'm like, dude, you don't understand. It's so hard in a different way than just lifting heavy weight. And they lift relatively the same weight that you do. It's relative. It's just, so they weigh 110 pounds and you weigh 250. It's like, of course they lift less, but it's like, but what they don't understand is that like for bikini to go into the gym, to get to know that you're building your body to a point where it can't get past, where you have to sculpt your body, where you have to not work specific muscle groups, and you have to go in and train the same muscle groups over and over and over again. Like, it's tough to get under that barbell and do a glute bridge, you know, 100 times a week, which is like, well, what are you doing? Three times a week you're doing glute bridges and doing glute kickbacks and glute this and glute that. And it's like, man, it is so mentally tough to be motivated to do the same muscle group repetitively like that, more so than it is for bodybuilding. Bodybuilding, you're doing arms one day, chest one day, back one day, and you get to mix it up and have more. I think the bikini is so much more mentally tough, because also the other thing about bikini is it's so mentally tough is that the criteria is so, it's so hard to like decipher when you're like looking at pictures, you know, like on a bodybuilder, you know, you look at Mr. Olympia and you're like, okay, Brandon Currie, whatever, like clearly whatever, he's the best because of this, he's leaner, he's bigger, it's pretty obvious, you know, at that level it's pretty obvious. But when you get to bikini, it's not obvious at all. Like, you know, Ashley could have won, Issa could have won, you know, I mean literally anyone in the top 10, there could have been an argument for that could have won. And it's like really hard to like prepare your body to going into it saying, okay, this is the best for me versus me being my absolute most muscular and my absolute most lean and my absolute most dry and that type of thing. So I think it's a really tough thing that that you girls do, you know, in terms of the getting on stage and dealing with it mentally. So it's a tough sport, you know? So.
Yeah, it's funny because you read my mind, because when you were talking about it being hard, the first thing that comes to my mind is like the judging criteria. It is little more unpredictable or volatile, but you have to, that fine line between being too lean or not lean enough, you know, is literally within a few pounds. And just to get that super precise conditioning that's best for your body, because, you know, I've had shows before where I was like a few pounds different, but it made such a big difference as far as judging and how I looked. Because one was a little too soft and I've been a little too lean, and it's all within just a few pounds. So it's very difficult because, you know, it's more subjective than any other division.
Yeah, I think that your range, it's so crazy because we've been literally 2 pounds different and it's been dramatic on the, I mean, 117 to 120 on you is like shredded potatoes to, oh, maybe like perfect. And then like 121, it's like, oh, she was a little soft today. I'm like, dude, it was like 3/4 of a pound difference. It's like, so it's just crazy at how yeah. little it is, how little that crunch zone is, you know? So, so yeah, I think that bikini is tough because you have to like understand you're going into it. Sometimes, like I actually just did a couple physique assessments for some British girls, and they were like crazy hard, crazy condition. They look awesome. You know, they went past the point. So actually I pulled up the top six in the, at the Olympia, the back pose. And I was like, look at them and look at you. Do you see the difference? Like you've gone too far with it. So sometimes even though they've been working really, really hard and it looks awesome, it's too much. And that's hard to say because you have to have a really, really trained eye, and you got to be really tough when you hear that comment, because you're like, what did I do all this hard work for? Why did I work so hard if it's too much? You know, that's the hardest one. I think when you're not enough, it's a lot easier to take hearing than when you're too much, because when you're too much, you're like, why did I do all that? You know, I don't want to not work out. I don't want to work less hard. You know, that's a tough one for bikini. I feel for, on some of those things, I feel for you guys, but if you guys have the right eye behind you, you can generally stop when it's the right time, you know?
Well, thank goodness you have two of those.
And thank goodness both your eyes are good now too.
Yeah, that's true. They're both good eyes now. Thank
your
goodness.
Eyes look good, by the way. Your eyes are like...
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah, your eyes, you could... I'm so shocked that surgery works so well.
It does. It feels so nice to be able to see singular. It's like, you know, that's another thing. It's like, these shows, like, I know they're getting canceled and throwing my season off and my plans, but at the end of the day, I'm like, shoot, at least I can see good. I was telling everyone, like, this is like my second quarantine, it feels like, because I had to take like a few weeks off and basically do the same thing I'm doing now, which is just sitting around. But it was even worse then, because it was like, I couldn't even work out then. But like, I'm just like, wow, a lot of time spent in the house this year so far.
Yeah, but luckily, like when you're in prep mode, that's kind of a little bit closer to how you live, besides the walking around outside to the gym and stuff. So at least, usually you do runs too, though. So yeah, but at least you're better prepared than if you were like going out. I can't imagine like the people who like worked at bars and like went out all the time on the weekends or whatever. Like they must be really struggling. So kudos to you guys for staying in and doing it. You know, I was one of the guys that were like, when this first came out, I was like, I think there was a lot of people that were like 50-50. And I think half of them were like, oh, it's just like worst case scenario, you're going to be fine. It's the flu, whatever. And like, as this stuff, so I was just kind of walking around, I was still doing my thing. You know, I was being smart. I was keeping like 6 feet away, but I wasn't going to like stop being like doing my thing. You know, I was just like, it's not worth it. The risk is not, it's not that great. And now that everything's happening, I'm like, okay, it's pretty serious like stuff. And like the people who are getting it are like, I'm seeing videos and stuff now. And I'm like, the people who are getting it, even that are healthier, are like pretty messed up from it. So I'm like, yeah. I'm staying inside and I, you know, being smart. So
it is crazy, right? And remember at the Arnold, everyone was like so shocked because that was like the first cancellation. Everyone was like, I feel like the Arnold got so much like backlash. But now in hindsight, everyone kind of understands it more. But everyone was so pissed at like the Arnold Expo being canceled. But, you know, thank goodness it did. But yeah, you're right. It is getting more real now, right? I'm, like I told you, I actually know 4 people in my real life, like not friends, but like acquaintances that have it, like went through the drive-through, tested positive and everything. And although they're not going to die, they're fine. They, you know, are basically stating this is the worst like sickness, the worst feeling they've ever had, like the flu times 10. So it's like, yeah, even if you are going to live, you don't want to get it.
Yeah. That's crazy. That's crazy. Yeah. So I'm saying be smart. I'm going to wear a mask. I'm actually going to be doing and just so you guys know too, I'm going to be doing something for, they're trying to get the right material still, but it was supposed to start today, but hopefully this week it'll start. It's Monday, just so you guys know. We're going to put this out on Thursday, so maybe it'll be out by then. Hopefully it will. But I'm doing a thing with Angels Competition Bikinis where they're making those masks with the filters with, like, the little thing on it, and they're just trying to find the right material for, like, the blue and red or whatever. And and it costs like $7 for these masks to be made. And Ashley, you did a thing with your suit where you
doing a auction on some of my used suits for the charity of Angels to make the masks.
Nice. So did they already do that, or is that still active?
It's still active, but I don't know. It ends April 10th.
So okay. So by the time this is posted, guys, if you wanna bid on Ashley's suit, it just goes towards a good cause.
Yes, one of them's my Olympia suit.
Yeah. So yeah.
And all proceeds go to helping create the masks for the healthcare workers. By the way, I just want to clarify, it doesn't go to me. It goes to the healthcare workers for their masks.
There you go. So Ashley is trying to do her part, and 100% goes to that. If you buy a mask from Angels, it's gonna be some type of blue and red mask, like the Elite mask. We're gonna pay for another mask so Team Elite will pay for another mask to be sent to someone in the healthcare field. So what you buy one for yourself, and we'll send one to someone else. We're gonna do that for quite a few masks. So hundreds at least is what I'm committing to. So so they cost like $7 a piece, so it's pretty cheap to get one. So think of it as like being like $350 for you and $350 for someone else type of thing. I think that's pretty cool that Angels is doing that, you know, keeping their people employed and keeping them working. And I think that's really cool of Angels. So props to you guys, Angels. So I don't know where was I going with that? I think it was just because the conversation of Corona we talked about. So
I don't know. I can move on to the next point if you want me to, though.
What else is it? Is there anything else you want to add to that?
Working hard? No. I think we're going to cover some good points in the next topic,
right,
which is us fitness people go above and beyond what is expected of us, because we all know that mediocre effort equals mediocre results. And anybody that's been super successful in their life in whatever it is that they do did not get there by just doing like the bare minimum. All right. The bare minimum is for normal people. And we are not normal. We are superhumans. You know what I'm saying? We are doing way more workouts than the average person. We are eating way better than the average person. Therefore, we go above and beyond what is expected of us.
Absolutely. I think that you're a great testament to that. I don't think people really know like how hard you work, you know? Honestly, that's one thing I really, if anything bothers me, I don't care what people say, like usually like in your comments or whatever, like when they're like, oh, you look better when you were leaner. Oh, you look better when
I love doing like, that.
Not. I don't even care about that stuff. The only thing I care about is when people say, oh, well, she's got great genetics. That's the one I'm like, you guys, like if you knew how hard she actually worked to accomplish this, like it would break most people. I mean, there was that first year. I mean, I don't know how I didn't break you. You know, it was like, it was so hard. And, you know, people just don't get it. You know, it does take a lot of hard work. And there was like this interview that I was watching. If you guys have been listening to this stuff for a while, you know, I listen to a lot of like cool stories, documentaries, motivational speakers, things like that. And this one I was watching was Mike Tyson. He's like my childhood, like one of my childhood, like heroes is like Mike Tyson. And he was talking and he was like, yeah, he goes, I don't like being called Mike anymore. I just want to be called like Michael Tyson. He's like, cause Mike Tyson was like this guy I was to accomplish a goal. And that guy, he doesn't even exist anymore. I don't even like talking about him anymore. You know, like, he's like, all he was a guy for me to have the platform that I have now, but I would never want to be that guy again. You know, he's like, he goes, for me to accomplish what I accomplished, it took me turning into someone else, like me being just completely focused on my goal, so focused on it that I couldn't see past anything else. I didn't want to do anything else. He's like, and I became the world champion because of that. He's like, that part of me is done now. But it was like, it was cool to see because I think it was really cool because I don't think you'd ever see a guy like Floyd Mayweather not say he's the world champion. You know, like he would never just not brag about how cool he is, right? You know, kind of like a Kanye West scenario. But like Mike Tyson doesn't even want to talk about it. He's like, hey, like that's done, you know? Like he's so humble in it. And all he knew is that he just wanted to accomplish this goal, and he worked so hard that it consumed him completely to get there. Dorian Yates said the same thing when he won the Olympics. He's like, it just consumed me to the point where, like, that's all you could do is focus on that. And that's what it takes, you know? I mean, it takes you giving such an effort that it takes so much out of you that it kind of becomes part of you, you know? It becomes part of your personality and stuff too. Like, if you want something bad, you're going to have to be willing to outwork other people. And if you want to be like a world champion level, it is going to take an extraordinary effort. If you want to make it to Major League Best Baseball, it's going to take an extraordinary effort because they're extraordinary people. You know, that's, but if it's your passion, like if you really love it, it's not going to feel ever like you're doing that. You know, it's going to feel like you're just living, you know, it's just your normal day. And so, yeah. So anyway, I commend you on that, Ashley, because you've been able to do it for the test.
Wow. Is this the Compliment Ashley podcast?
You know what?
Like for every point you can be a compliment.
It's just the time thing. And that's what it is. It's just the time, you know, that's what people mm-hmm. don't get. And that's what I really like. You know, the longer I do this, the more I realize it's not about being dedicated for like 16 weeks. I think anyone can force themselves to do that. It's about being consistent for very, very long. And that's why you see too, with like trainers, you know, I'll get a lot of trainers, a lot of coaches. They'll be like, you know, how did you get to that level, to the upper levels or whatever of coaching? And I'm like, do you see how hard I work now? And they'll be like, yeah, I've heard, you know, like I'm in the office, you know, 10, 12 hours a day at least. And they're like, well, like I've done that every day since I was 18, you know, that's how. It didn't happen overnight. You know, it was just years and years of being dedicated to this and trying so hard every single day to be a little bit better. And it's mm-hmm. like, some people would say, yeah, that's unhealthy, but I'm like, no, dude, that's what makes me happy. You know? So if it makes me happy, then there's not a problem with it, you know? So if this is your thing and it truly makes you happy, then keep doing it, man. Keep going harder, go get as far as you possibly can, you know, make sure that when you are, you know, 70 years old, you look back and you're like, I couldn't have done any more. That's literally how I live every day. And I'm like, look, if I could have done more, I don't want to go to sleep that night. You know, I want to do everything I can and only sleep because I have to, you know, like that's literally when I'm 70, I'm going to look back and be like, I accomplished whatever it was, you know, that whatever the goal is, I accomplished that. And I couldn't, and if I didn't accomplish it, I'm going to say, well, I didn't, there's nothing else I could have done. So I think that losing that time is just the worst thing in the world. So
absolutely. I agree. And I will like to add on to that, you know, about being extremely dedicated to a goal. A lot of people will kind of try to put you down for it in a way because they know that they're not that dedicated. And they might say something like, oh, so that's your life? Oh, that doesn't sound fun, you know? And it's like, yeah, this is my life and I love it. Like, it's way more exciting than your life, I bet. But like, you know what I'm saying? I feel like people use that kind of phrase a lot whenever they're, you know, maybe not admitting to their lack of commitment to something they're super passionate about.
Yeah, I think that's 100% what it is. It's like, it's almost like what do they call it when you give someone a compliment, backhanded compliment, I think is what it's called.
Yeah.
Right? You're like, oh, well, that's cool if you like it. You know, that type of thing. Like, I don't know what it is about that. It's like, there's like some type of, makes people feel better about themselves when they're bringing others down closer to their level or whatnot, instead of like just saying, okay, I should be doing something with my life where I'm dedicating it and giving my best to something, no matter what it is. I don't care if it's fitness, whatever. Like if it's your work and you want to be the best, whatever it is, like, and that's the thing too about, I think in America, especially, like if you want to, whatever, let's say you want to be successful in something and make good money. Like it doesn't matter what you pick. As long as you put in that effort, you're going to be rewarded for it. As long as you put forth that effort, you know, if you look at like, I mean, it could be even something silly, like I'm just going to throw out anything. Like, so if you're an entry level, like server, or if you're like the best server in the world, right? So like the best server in the world probably is killing it. And they're at some fancy restaurant. They learned the whole wine thing. They probably went to extra courses to learn like wine so they can sell it to customers. And they're probably just crushing. I've heard of servers doing like 140 grand a year, you know, so they're probably just crushing it because they've put the extra effort in. Or you could be, you know, at some small restaurant and not pushing yourself, you know? So the difference is, especially in America, especially with our reach these days of where you can reach and where you can go with everything, and everyone's so, like, internet and social media has just made the world so small and so connected that, like, there's really no reason for you not to be successful, you know? If the whole Corona thing has put you out of work, I feel for you, you know, that sucks. I'm slower too, of course, but this is a great time to assess what you've been doing, what you want to do, and maybe attack, you know, when you come out of this in a different way. Maybe it'd be the best thing that ever happened to you, you know?
Mm-hmm. I like that. That's a good point.
Oh yeah, totally. I mean, I was, for me to get here, I had to be forced in directions, you know, like, with when I left 24 Hour Fitness and I went to Club USA to, like, go to that gym, that was, like, the best thing that ever happened. I didn't really want that to happen, you know? When I was at Armbrust, I had my office there. At a certain point, I was supposed to partner with Armbrust and actually be part of the owners of that gym and make our gym, our prep center, kind of in there and make it bigger. And that didn't work out. So I opened up our prep center just to have ours. And then because of that, that wasn't an ideal circumstance when that first happened, but it happened and it was, like, the best thing that could have happened. I was, like, so happy about it now. At the time, I was like, well, we just need a place to, we just need a place, you know? But then This all happened because of, like, you know, bad things. I had to sell my house. I had to sell my cars. I had to, like, sleep on the floor in the prep center to, like, make it work. And it was, like, you know, it was a bad scenario, you know, but it worked out and it was, like, the best thing that happened to me. So I know there's people out there probably right now struggling. And I've talked to a few, especially, like, in this business, there's a lot of trainers who are out of work right now and whatnot. But this is a time to, like, really look at yourself, look at your business, look at your goals, and, like, attack it when it comes out with something that you've never attacked before, and just see how great you could push it to, you know? So usually it's going to probably be the best thing for a lot of people is, like, when they come out of this, like, cause they get to assess everything, you know? So.
Yes. You've got a lot of time to think now and create a plan. That's really good point. And I don't think a lot of people look at it that way, but yeah, definitely take advantage and utilize this time you have to think and force yourself into perhaps a different route that's going to better your career in the long run.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I've looked at all my stuff and restructured a whole bunch of things just this time, you know, so it's been great. So anyway, what about you, Ashley? What have you been doing differently? Anything new with this time that you've had?
No, I've honestly just been trying to stay as consistent as possible and not to stray away from my routine that I would have normally. I think that's the key for me. I still wake up early. I still eat the same foods. I still work out shoulders on Monday and Wednesday is triceps. Like, I still have my plan. Good. I just have to modify it and I just have to be creative, because you already know I run the emergency staircase in my apartment, 12 flights for 40 minutes. So that's my equivalent to a cardio session. And I still train, except for training on machines. I'll train with resistance bands or light dumbbells. And I'm waiting for my T-Rex to arrive, but I'm super excited about my T-Rex. It should be here on Wednesday. And I'm putting that over the door and hopefully get some more shoulder work and stuff like that with it. So.
Well, look at you. Yeah, I think that's huge, a huge, like, thing to think about, your consistency, right? Mm-hmm. That's what you could pretty much set your watch to with Ashley, is her consistency. So, and I think that's super important. What's funny is I was talking to Sean Roden at one point, and I was so mad because I was recording him with, like, this little pocket camera I had, and he gave, like, the best speech on, like, how he became Mr. Olympia. And it was like, he's like, just the thing you need to think about is just, you got to be consistent. He goes, when every day, no matter where I'm at, I work out at, like, it was like 9 a.m. or something like that. He was like, I work out at 9 a.m. Doesn't matter where I'm at. When I fly in somewhere, if I haven't worked out that day, first thing I do is I go to the gym. He's like, so it just becomes so part of life and so routine that it's just the way I live now. And it's just, like, it's just not even, it's so routine that it's not routine. You know, it's just life. And if you can get to that point and having that consistency, then you're, nothing's going to stop you, you know? It was, like, such an awesome speech. And then I realized, like, when I hit stop record, it started recording. Oh, but I was so mad.
Darn it.
Well, you were there. Yeah. You were there at that day.
Yes. You were there. I was just pretending like I didn't know. So you can tell me. That's but so- I like that you said that, because you know what? That was one of the points I wrote down, was good habits. Because we as fitness folk, we have some good, healthy habits that we don't even think twice about. We just do it. For example, choosing Diet Coke over regular Coke. Like, that's a no-brainer for us. It's like no-brainer, right? But for the average person, they might try to justify, you know, having regular Coke instead. You know, we do things without thinking, and healthy things, because that's kind of what's been engraved in us. And that's what we've been doing for however long we've been doing fitness. For me, it was a long time. But like, the more you're into fitness, the more you do these things on a schedule, on a day-to-day basis, the more habit it becomes, the less you even have to think.
Yeah, and I think that's the key to all things in life, right? And like, in being successful, you know, is just creating that habit, you know, because like, I don't even, at this point with like my, with being in like the prep center and stuff, like, I don't even know how to live it in a different way. It's, I wouldn't know what to do. You know, I come in here to the office, I'm sneaking into my office, and luckily we have a doctor here, so I'm allowed to come to my office, you know, can't use like the gym part of it for the most part.
But. Yeah, guys, you hear that? So stop tattletelling.
I know. Yeah, we had the police come in here already. We had the police, if you guys know, like, so they patrol it. The police came in here and they like just checked to make sure that we didn't have like a bunch of people working out in the gym and that we had less than 10. And then like the city council like got involved here too. And they're like, oh no, they have doctors and we have physical therapists and chiropractors here. So they're like, they're allowed to be there. They just can't have like open gym sessions. So as long as there's not a bunch of cars in the parking lot, we're okay. So I get to sneak in here and get to my office. I'm actually allowed to be here because I own the building. So that's nice. But yeah, it's nice to at least have that. Like, I'm just here all day long though. Like, I'm just here like watching YouTube. I just don't want to be at the house all day. I'll sneak down and get a workout, you know, little things. So luckily I'm like the only one that uses it, so it's clean. But yeah, I've been it's been a great like time though, like getting to just focus on other things and not have any distractions, you know. I've appreciated it, but definitely ready to open life back up at this point. What do you think is going to happen though? Do you think people are going to like just, I saw that did you see that thing? They opened up beaches in one place and then everyone was at the beach.
Oh yeah. I mean, different states have different regulations. Cause like, obviously like in Arkansas and Wyoming and in states that are very minimally populated, they're not going to have the same kind of restrictions as us in like a big city. So I don't know which states have the full lockdown in place and which ones don't, but yeah, there are little exceptions and little loopholes within it all. But yeah, I do know of some parks and beaches being still open. I think the way some people justify that is you're still allowed to go out and exercise, but you can't be with like 10 or more people or whatever in yeah. some places. So I think like that's their way around, but I think they're really starting to become more strict with that sort of thing with any state now.
Yeah, I'm just curious of like when it opens, because they opened, everything was closed in one state and then they opened the beach and then the beach was like packed, like people just wanted to get out of the house. So yeah. I'm curious if like the gyms, how the gyms are gonna be, you know? Like,
I don't know. Yeah, that is gonna be interesting.
Yeah, because I wouldn't go to like, I would go to the gym because it's there's not that many people there usually. You can usually keep 6 feet apart. I'd probably wear a mask though these days because I don't wanna get that. But you know, I think that's the cool thing too, is this, it become socially acceptable, like it is in China and Korea, to like wear a mask out here now. It's like socially acceptable. But like events, like sporting events and stuff, I don't think anyone's gonna want to go and sit next to that many people for like, that's,
yeah, gonna, maybe they'll do like a 25% capacity and everyone has to sit like 6 feet apart. I'm not sure. I think those sporting events will be one of the last things to open because it's not essential. And also it's a breeding ground for that type of thing because everyone's so close.
Yeah.
But hey, we could be wrong. I think the next few weeks is going to be very telling of what's going to happen. So we'll have to see. We'll just have to see. But, you know, hopefully sooner than later, it becomes like back to normal is what I'm hoping, what everyone's hoping.
Yeah, we'll see. Wouldn't it be so cool if like they're just like, oh hey, like tomorrow they're like, we found a vaccine, it works really good, let's just
right,
just on Friday everyone go to Walgreens, we'll have it ready for you.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice? They're predicting 18 months for
a vaccine. That's not happening anytime soon. anyway, it's hard to get not get distracted by that topic, right? Because it's
right?
Like part of our life right now, you know.
It is very part of our life.
Yeah, it's so crazy that this is like literally 3 weeks ago. I was like, oh, whatever, it'll come and go. It's not even a big deal. Like, it's just like the flu. Like, and then now it's like everything got, like, our whole life changed. You know, it's just so crazy that this happened.
I know, but at the same time, I think it's kind of cool we're documenting this. Because we'll look back in the future and be like, whoa, remember that one time?
Yeah.
Remember?
That one time we got shut down?
Yeah. Crazy. Who could have ever saw that coming? Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just agreeing with you.
Okay. Another thing that I think is super beneficial about being in the fitness industry is it has allowed me to really learn my body and to become so in tune with my body. For example, I know how my body will feel after eating this or that or how it's going to look. I'm super aware of my health. And I think that's such an advantage. And I think that is so helpful. Not necessarily to apply to other career paths, but in general, that is a life skill that I will have forever, and it will help me all the time, including now more than ever, to be so in tune with your body and your health.
Yeah, honestly, actually, it's a really good point, because that's something that a lot of people don't talk about, to be honest, within prep too, because it's really difficult. Like, you're never going to be, your prep coach is never going to be able to know some of the things that you know about yourself, because they're not inside of you, you know, they're not you. So like if you're going through prep, this is like a great lesson, actually. If you're going through prep and you're trying to figure out like which carbs absorb like best for you, or which, like how you digest which carbs best. You know, one day if you want to eat like a bunch of oatmeal, and then one day eat a bunch of rice, and one day eat a bunch of sweet potatoes, and just see like how you felt on those days, like where you felt best, where you're like had less acid reflux, where you had less like bloating of your stomach. Like, it's good to figure those things out, because that last week of prep, you know, I'm going to say have, you know, white rice, sweet potato, or whatever, maybe oatmeal, whatever those last for your carbs. But you would know more than I would know about your physique, which ones you feel best on, which ones cause you the most bloating, which ones, you know, you're going to digest best too. So that's a really good way to, like, especially when you're going into prep, like test that out and see how is it going to be best? Because if you're feeling like, let's say you feel gassy, or you're having acid reflux because you ate oatmeal, well, then that's probably not the carb you want to be loading with the week of your peak week. You know, you probably want to eliminate that to help minimize your waistline and inflammation, and your body's obviously not responding very well to it. So like, that's some great information that you can learn about yourself to help you look better at the day of the stage, but also probably just feel better, period, in life, you know. Like, with what's really funny, it's actually not funny, it's really sad, to be honest. I was working with this girl, Leah Thompson. She's one of my friends. She's like, she's a long time ago client, maybe like 9 years ago. So hi, Leah, if you hear this. She was always really like sick with her, like always had some type of issues, like intestinal issues, you know, like, and she thought she had IBS and all these things. And doctors for years were like, oh, try this, medication, whatever. And then I was like, well, how much artificial sweetener are you eating? Are you taking in? She's like, well, I drink quite a few of those like packets, like the little packets of stuff. And also, like, I don't know if it was like energy drinks or whatever it was, and some protein powders. And it was like, we're adding it up. I was like, it's quite a bit, you know, you're having quite a bit with your protein powder, with your protein bar, with your, maybe she had an energy drink, who knows, and then had the packets in her coffee. I'm like, why don't you just try cutting that for a little while? And she did for like 2 or 3 days. And she's like, Adam, I've been to like so many doctors, so many specialists, so many different things for my issues. And it was like that the whole time. She goes, no one told me it was nutrition based. They just tried to fix me with pills and stuff. She's like, and I didn't really like research it until it's more like public now. A lot of people more know that now, but like 10 years ago, no one really knew this. No one was talking about it, you know? And so she's been fine. She just had to minimize her artificial sweeteners. And so like, how much better is her life now because of fitness, because of being hyper aware of what she's putting into her body? Is her quality of life now, you know, it's dramatically different, you know? So I think that's a great point.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And the last point I have written down is, us fitness people have a good self-control. We got good self-control, you know? We don't give in to like a temporary satisfaction such as a cake, because we know what the long-term results we want are. And in order to get to that long-term goal, we need to, like I mentioned, stay consistent, but have the self-control to not indulge or do activities that are going to hinder our goals.
Yeah, I think that that's really, really important. You know what, too? Like, let's go into cheat meal real quick, all right? Like, here's the thing about cheat meal. This is what, you know what, I used to have this, man, this was like 20 years ago at this point. I think I was like 19, and I was a trainer. I was the fitness manager at a 24-hour fitness. And this trainer I had named Pendar, he said this to me one time. He goes, you know what? I don't understand why people eat the cheat meals so much. Like, he goes, when you go to like a Cheesecake Factory or whatever, he's like, and you have like a piece of cake. He's like, really, you're just desiring that taste of the cake. Like, and once you get that taste in your mouth, the rest of the time, it's just like work to get it done. And for some reason, like, we have some like preset, like, desire to finish this cake. But if the cake was this big, or the cake was, you know, this big, if for you on podcast, I'm shrinking it. Like, you would eat the whole thing either way. But either way, you'd be satisfied. You'd be satisfied with the little piece, or you'd be satisfied with half the cake. So basically, the point is that you're satisfied just having the cake. So why are we going so crazy with it? It's just the taste. So now I know that it sounds crazy. People are going to think that I'm an alien with this. But if I want like some cheesecake, I literally just have one or two bites, and I'm like, that's all I wanted was the taste. The rest of it's just pure consumption of, you know what I mean? It's like, I don't know. I just, ever since I heard that from him, I was like, you know what? You're right. Like, it really is just that taste. And the rest of it's just like, we're thinking we should finish it. You know what I mean? Unless you're Ashley. Ashley likes to, hates wasting food. But you could share it or whatever. So like, yeah, just being conscious of what's going to happen from it. I think a lot of it too for me is like the guilt of it. Like, if I feel like I earned it and I worked really hard and I was lean enough, you know, you've seen me at like post show, Ashley will have her cheat meal, but I won't go crazy because I haven't earned it. You know, I wasn't on stage that day, so I didn't earn it with you, you know? So yeah. Like, for me, you know, I'll have something pretty clean for the most part, or maybe a tiny bit dirty, but never go crazy. And then mm-hmm. if I earned it and I was stage lean, yeah, I'll have a big meal one time, but not unless I feel like I earned it. It's like almost like mm-hmm. a reward system type of thing. And if you haven't earned it, then I just like, nah.
Right. Like I told you before, I mean, sometimes the things like that, if you want to really deter your thinking from that, you need that piece of cake. If you do the math and you add up how many calories are in that cake, and how long it took you to eat that cake, and then do some sort of math division or whatever system. I was never good at math, but do whatever you got to do to realize how much cardio you got to do to burn that empty calorie filled cake off. And I know that might be a little touchy subject for some people, but it's kind of like the harsh truth of it. Like, how many miles do I have to run to burn off this piece of cake? I think I'm much like you. I want a taste of it, but I don't want the whole thing. I'll have a bite of somebody's. My taste buds are curious. They want to know what it tastes like, but I don't want to have the whole thing, because I know that although it tastes good in the moment, it's a lot of work to get that off. It's a lot of work.
Yeah, you always are. You're always like a picker. You always like,
yeah,
little this, little, yeah, you're like that. Though I don't think, you know what, it's funny because you have, it's weird that in the today's day, I understand like why that's a sensitive issue, because a lot of people now are about like balance and this and that. And I think that that's great. And I think you should live balanced. But you need to remember too, the level that Ashley's competing at, you know, there's not a lot of room for balance at that level. You know, we're talking the number one girls in the world, like not just, you know, your local show. We're talking like the best girls from every country in the world, you know, narrowed down to the top 25 or so. So yeah, any professional sport at that level is going to be a little less balanced. You know, you're going to have the same type of, you know.
But that's the life I chose, Adam, and
you're
I love it.
With that, that's you're playing.
Yeah,
professional
I
sports.
Loved my life. That I chose that. So yeah, I think people, I know what I got to do to be my best.
People make that confusion, I think, all the time. Like, I always want this to be for everyone. You know, I want it to be in a sustainable. I want it to be obtainable, and I want you to have it with the highest amount of food and the lowest amount of cardio you could do to get that desired goal. But at the same time, we're talking about extremes here. You know, that's, we're talking about playing a professional sport, just like any professional sport, where the prize at hand is being named the number one person in the world. Yes, that is not going to be balanced. That is, you got to be realistic with your goals and your expectations to accomplish those goals at the same time of still having that balance, you know? So like it, there's a fine line there, you know, that you need to really kind of like accept, you know, this is a professional sport. I'm not going to get there by, you know, eating cake all the time. This is not going to happen, you know? So like, right. That's just something I think that needs to be like out there. Yes. Everyone can be fit and everyone can do shows. If you want to be at the very highest level, it's going to take something very exceptional, very, very exceptional. And if you're trying to do it in another way and you haven't in years yet, you might want to look at that as the reason, because that's just the reality of things. You know, it's a sad reality.
Yeah. And the side note, I get fluffy easy. So I got to be extra careful compared to the others. I got to be extra careful. But, you know, I think like in our sport, diet is very, very important, right? More so than it would be in gymnastics or tennis or anything like that. They're not, you know, going for the physique. The winner of the sport that they play isn't based on their physique. Ours are. So that's why our diet definitely plays a big role. But at the same time, their performance and what they need to do to train, like we're talking about gymnasts doing 4 or 5 hours a day, you know, training. Now, if you that to us seems like, whoa, that's a lot. So I think it's all how you look at things. If you look at the top of any sport, of course, they got to do above and beyond. They got to do way more than the regular person. But for us, I feel like the training isn't as much as the diet is super, super important. We're not, well, most of us aren't putting in 5 hours at the gym. Maybe you have before, but that's not a daily thing. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like, it's like putting things into perspective, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. Like just basically the effort needed to be at any place at the top, whether it's business, work, the, you know, sport, like the, everyone is, they always have, it's always the same story of the guys that you hear that were on top. It's very like, very familiar. You know, when you hear these guys that are like the best in the world, they're always like, I gave it my all every day since I was in the womb. You know, like, you know, it's like all they can remember is having a baseball bat in their hand or having a basketball. Like, it's always the same thing. The dedication is just, it's just in them, you know? So it's like, if you want it, you got to show it, you know, it can't just be, I want it on Thursday. You know, it's, I want it 24/7, you know, all the time. So I think that this is a great time to, you know, you're at your house and to assess your goals and assess your actions, if they match your goals, and be honest with yourself. You know, there's no one you need to be honest with besides yourself about if you're doing enough to get to where you want to get, where, you know, I guess we're kind of huge. We're both like huge on that. You know, we're both like, okay, guys, reach for your best, you know, type of thing. I don't know. I just love it. I love seeing is people who didn't realize they weren't giving their all, who thought that they were doing enough, and then like they actually put in enough one time, and then they saw how great they could be. That to me is like worth everything, you know, to see. It's such a cool thing to see, you know, like, oh, I actually did it, and then I surprised myself, you know, I actually won. Like, I didn't realize I could, maybe I could actually do something with this if I actually try. And the next thing you know, they take off and their life is completely different because they put through an exceptional effort one time that changed their whole world and showed them something about themselves they didn't even think was there. And I think that that is so cool when someone realizes, hey, you know what? I'm not as average as I thought I was. I could be special. And the only thing separating me from someone who is special is effort. And that's all I've been looking up to them for. And people don't realize, hey, I'm looking up to this person who I think is special. They're not special. They're just efforted. And that's it. You know, I think we should use that word interchangeably between exceptional, special, and efforted. Those are all, you know, synonyms.
Is that a real word?
Efforted? I don't know. But everyone, I think everyone gets it, right? As I've heard it. Yeah. I definitely didn't.
I like it. We'll make it a word if it's not.
Yeah. Someone, you're allowed to call me out. I don't care. In the comments. Efforted is not a real word. I don't know. Let's make it one.
We're going to make it a word, because just like there's different names for exercises and you can make up whatever, we're making up this word. You'll see it in the dictionary and give it like 4 years. Yeah.
You know what? My new goal in life is to get to the level where I can say something and the word will be there. Like Snoop Dogg or something.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be cool. We should both have the goal of leaving one word before we die in the urban dictionary.
I like
mine is efforted, unless it's actually a word. So with that, it sounds like that's what we got, huh?
Yes, unless you can think of any other things that this wonderful sport fitness has taught you to apply to your everyday life.
You know what? I think that for everyone here kind of knows, like, what the sport for me, that's why I like live the sport and can't wait to like give back to the sport and like I'm just so consumed by it, is because when I was at like my hardest times in life, it was always there for me, and it gave me like a place to go, it gave me a place to be safe, it gave me something to strive for, it gave me something to learn about every day, it gave me my career. I mean, it's like, it's crazy that like, isn't it? It's, to me, it's like, I still think about it sometimes. It's nuts that one day some crazy guy started lifting weights and realized, like, can you imagine the concept of this? Like, think about the pure concept of bodybuilding, right? Like, not how we see it now, because we grew up with it, so it's like very normal. But you imagine being the first guy to start lifting things up and putting them down and being like, oh, I think I could build more muscle if I lifted this up and put it down. Like, that sounds so stupid. You know what I mean? Like, you imagine that? Frank, what are you doing over there lifting those? Because you don't know off of doing it for one day. You have to do it for days and days and days.
Yeah.
Like, oh no, you see crazy Frank down the street? He keeps lifting shit up and putting it down. I don't know what he's doing. Can you imagine like that happening for the first time? Like,
dude, that's like something I never thought of, but it's like, it's very intriguing. Like, who was that first person to realize, oh wait, if I keep doing this over and over, I'm gonna get buffed. Like,
what? The concept of it is ludicrous. You know what I mean? It's just crazy to think about. Like, why would I do that? Like, why would I do that ever? Unless like, and then you have to do it for months to realize it's actually doing something. So someone had to do this for a very long period of time before they started realizing
they made them. Perhaps it was the blacksmiths.
You know what? I read something one time that there was guys at some, this is what I don't know if this is the truth or where it stemmed from, because no one really, like, I think fully knows the answer, but there was guys in a bar. This is what I heard. There was guys in a bar, and they would, on like Friday nights, they would see who could lift the heaviest stuff. Like that. And everyone would sit around and drink and watch these really big men, burly men, like lift weight and see who could lift the most weight. And it was like a drunk thing. And they would go to the bar and they would do it. And then I guess maybe it stemmed from that. I don't know if it, like, they kept getting heavier weights and heavier weights as they kept training for it. I don't know. But I just can't imagine, like, the whole point of it is, like, I can't imagine that happened. The whole thing happened, and now this is what we do. You know what I mean? Like, we're, like, reaping the benefits of someone figuring this out. And it just seems, like, so hard to figure out. Like, just to start doing it, you know? So,
yeah. I think they would figure out the diet faster than the lifting, that's for sure. Like, yeah. Oh, if you eat less, you'll get skinnier or whatever. But that's a good point. And yeah. That is so true. Like, when I was a little kid, I never thought, like, what do you want to be when you grow up? Do you want to, you know, you want to be a firefighter? And I would have never thought, like, I want to be a bikini athlete. Like,
yeah, like, that's not even like a job. I have, for you guys watching on video, like something, I got something in my eye and it's like my right eye. Like, I swear I'm not crying about that. It was like the perfect time for that to happen. Oh, what's going on? I have like sunblock lotion, I think, is in my eye.
Oh no.
I know. I'm gonna do the rest of the podcast like this. So anyway, like just to think about that stuff and like be grateful for that we have the opportunity of actually this being your career. And if you're a trainer out there who's going through a hard time because you're not able to train right now, like to just even know how fortunate that you were that this is even a job, you know, that this even became a thing is so, it's such a crazy concept. Like Ashley is, you know, travels around the world, has traveled to more places than she can probably count because she is in a professional bikini competitor and that's her job. It's crazy. And all of you out there who are listening have that same opportunity as long as you put forth the work and how fitness can be changing your life. And you could be doing these podcasts one day too, talking about what it's done for you. You know, there's nothing. And, you know, I think there's something that makes like Ashley special, but really the reality is we're like just regular people who put in a lot of effort. And I hope that like when you guys listen to this podcast, that it motivates some other people to find out how great they could be if they really put in that effort. You know, so there you go. I guess we'll leave you beautiful. With that. Is it you last
I'm
last
tearing week, up
last week I'm lotioning up last week last week you left with that fire motivational quote, you know, or saying or speech.
Oh yeah,
that's all I got though.
Okay, well I'm about to end with another good one.
You know what, Ashley, you're bringing the fire lately.
I'm trying, you know? I'm trying to bring the fire through the speakers. But yeah, my message to you is, hey, you. Yes, you. There isn't anybody else here. I'm talking to you through the speaker or the screen. I just want to say, if you listened all the way to the end of this podcast, you are my friend. We are friends for life. Okay, you can call me up anytime, and just be like, hey, Ashley, how are things going? And I will say, good. Yes. And you? So I just want to say you made a new friend today if you listen to the end of this podcast. And, you know, I freaking love you. So thank you for listening. And we appreciate you so much. You have two new friends now, actually. I'm sure Adam thinks the same way as I do. Yes. We're all friends. So don't ever say that you don't have friends, because we're both your friend.
Ashley,
and you're a cool kid.
Ashley, sometimes you're weird.
I'm weird, but I'm also a friend, so.
Yes, you're my.
Well, we're all friends. You have a weird friend now.
You're my weird friend. All right, guys, we'll talk to you next week. Thanks so much for listening. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.